Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for everyone in this room, Lord. Thank you for certainly the building, the facilities that we have to do this, Lord. But thank you most of all for the gift of your Son who made this possible, Lord, to pull us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your dear Son. So I pray that you would give us what we need, Lord, to serve you well and to do things that will be fruitful for your kingdom this summer, especially as we plan and prepare for Vacation Bible School. So God, this meeting, we invite you to be a part of it. Pray that your will would be done here. And that you would allow things to be clear for everyone here, what's expected, what's involved with Vacation Bible School. We give this to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess I would just say thank you so much to all of you. It's a big deal to me, to anyone who's going to give up of their time, especially their time in the summer. And I know it's some of you guys take off from work, clear out your schedule, do all kinds of things so that you can take part and be a part of Vacation Bible School. So thank you so much for jumping in. You all should have gotten, and if you didn't, they're on the side here over by the coffee on the ledge, lesson packets. So those lesson packets are divided into two categories. There's lessons for 4s and K, which are the red groups, and then there's lessons for 1st grade through 5th grade. And each packet is paper clipped together from Monday through Friday. So you should have 5 lessons per packet. And really anyone who's going to be in a classroom should grab the lesson packets or look at them online. I emailed them out as well to start becoming familiar with those lessons and really just let God work into you the things that he wants to get inside of you so that we're ready to pour out to the kids once they're here. You know, I would just say this. Vacation Bible School is not primarily about crafts or games or decorations. Or even having a smooth week, even though that's what we pray for. Our goal is to help children see that God cares for them and to point them to Jesus Christ. Everything that we do leading into VBS and during the week of VBS should work towards that goal. We want kids to know Jesus, to grow in him, to either experience him and put their trust in him if they're not saved, or for the kids who are saved to get discipled and grow in their walk with the Lord and follow him more closely, more confidently, more equipped by the end of the week of Vacation Bible School. So the things that we're preparing for are things that have an eternal impact. And you can't, what happens after Vacation Bible School cannot be measured. Eternity will tell. And so whatever kind of a week that you end up having and whatever capacity you serve, whether it's on the worship team or skits or rec or craft team or in the classrooms, like God, we just give it to the Lord and we ask that he multiplies our labor and that he just magnifies the name of his Son in the lives of these kids and their families and their neighborhoods and their schools when they go back in the fall and all those things. So know that it's first and foremost about Jesus. Everyone who is serving in a classroom should pick up the packets, familiarize themselves with it, as I mentioned, and I'm going to go through each day of the packets now to give everyone kind of a bird's eye picture of what each day is going to entail in terms of what we're going to be covering. The theme for this year's Vacation Bible School is God Cares for Me. I had this thought as I was preparing for this VBS that most people in the world don't care about me. And I was like, wait a minute. The majority of the world doesn't care anything about me. I wasn't bothered by that, but it was like one of those moments where I was like, man, there's billions of people on the planet. Most of them don't even care about me. But there's billions of people on the planet, and God cares intimately and passionately and knowingly each and every one. And he cares about these kids. He cares about each and every one of you. And so the thing that we're working into the kids' hearts and into our own hearts is God is a God who cares. And so we see that first and foremost, day one, Monday, God cares about the little things. We see that with Hagar running away in the wilderness. Hagar is Sarai's maidservant, and she runs away into the wilderness after being mistreated by Sarai, and the angel of the Lord meets her there. And she is seen, and she is heard, and she is cared for in a very personal way by the Lord. And just to know that the Lord sees me, the Lord hears me, especially in my brokenness when everyone else has rejected me or when I'm misunderstood, God cares. And so to highlight that in Genesis chapter 16, the Lord knows our name and he sees us, he hears us. Our memory verse for the whole week for my red group is 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon him for he cares for you. What an important truth for all of us to have and take ownership of. We can cast our cares on the Lord because he cares for us. You can just slide everything off onto the Lord as we experience it. All of our anxieties, another translation would say, all of our fears, put it all on the Lord, knowing that he cares for us. And so, you know, all of these kids know what it's like to experience someone to say, I don't care. I don't care about you, or I don't care about this, or even to feel like they're not cared for. But the opposite is their reality when it comes to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Tuesday, God cares about our needs. We see this, we're going to look at it in Elisha and the widow's oil. Elisha is there. There's a widow. Her husband has died. She has debts she can't pay. Someone's threatening to take away her sons, her children. And Elisha says, go get a bunch of jars, and then instruct her to start pouring oil into the jars. Close the door, start pouring it out. And as many jars as she has, the oil just keeps pouring. She fills all the jars up till the last one is full. And God provided for what she's able to sell those off, provide for her family, pay off the debts. God cared for her. And we'll marry that to Matthew chapter 6. The Lord cares about the birds. And if he cares about the birds, how much more does he care for you? He feeds the sparrows. He feeds the birds. He even clothes the grass with lilies. And how much more will the Lord care for you? Don't be anxious for anything. Instead, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. So that's our memory verse for that day. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God cares about our needs. Wednesday, God cares about our obedience. We're going to look at this in an example of disobedience with Achan after Jericho. Joshua had said, don't take any of the things that you see in Jericho. It is set aside for destruction. And Achan, of course, he sees a garment, he sees some gold, he sees some silver, he covets it, he takes it, he hides it. Israel suffers a horrible defeat at Ai. 36 people die, and there's sin in the camp. And so they go through this whole process. God knows exactly what's going on, and Achan is brought out and then dealt with. Sin has consequences. And so in these lesson packets, they're written slightly different for the younger group than they are for the older group. You know, there are some intense details in some of these passages, like with Achan and his whole family and all that he has being dragged out, stoned, and burned. But the Bible says that, hey, the wages of sin is death, and that there are consequences for sin. So we don't always get into all the graphic details of the horrible ends that people meet. But we do say, hey, the Lord, this thing was unseen, it was hidden, but God saw it, God cared about it, and it affected everybody else. And so sin has consequences, not just for us, but for everyone. And then, of course, Thursday, God cares about our service. This one is, if you were to read John chapter 6, this isn't the main point of the passage. And so hopefully it's not too hard for you to follow here, but the idea is that God cares about the things that we do to serve him. And so this is the feeding of the 5,000. And there's a young lad who comes. Everyone's hungry. The disciples are supposed to spend their own money, go get some food. And Jesus asked them to do that, knowing what he himself would do, the passage says. And of course, he knew that there was a young boy there with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that boy was generous. He was willing to provide what he had for the impossible situation that was in front of them, feeding thousands upon thousands of people. I have some food, Jesus. He brought it over. He shared it. And of course, when we give what little we have and put it in the hands of Jesus, he's able to multiply it and to provide and to do things that we could have never imagined out of our own willingness to serve. And so the point there is to highlight the power of Jesus Christ and what he is able to do when we give what little we have into his hands. But the Lord did use a young boy and what the boy brought to do that miracle. And so that's going to be the emphasis of that day. The Lord cares about our service. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not to men. And finally, the last day, Friday, is always our big salvation day. We want to give kids an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And so this is God cares about our salvation with the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus says, hey, there was a shepherd, had 100 sheep, one went astray, and he left the 99 to go seek after the one. And of course, when he finds that sheep, he puts it on his back, comes back rejoicing, tells all his neighbors, tells all his friends, and they hold a feast, a celebration. And that is likened unto what happens in heaven. In that passage, he says, hey, there is rejoicing in heaven over one person who is lost, who is found, comes into the kingdom of God. And so the memory verse for that is the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. So all these different aspects of God care. God cares about our needs. God cares about me personally. God cares about our service, our obedience, our salvation. We serve a God who cares. He showed us that first and foremost through sending his own son into the world to suffer, to die, in our place, and then to rise again to give us the hope of forgiveness and life with God. So there's going to be a Welcome to God's Family card that will be in your classrooms on that Friday. You'll fill it out, and you'll leave that card there so that I can follow up with the families afterwards. So-and-so got saved. They prayed to receive the Lord today, and you know, we'll make sure that they have a Bible, that they're plugged into a church, that they have what they need to continue to grow in the Lord. And then all the kids, first grade through fifth grade, who memorize their verses Monday through Friday will be able to get a certificate at the end of the week, a little prize as well, like candy. And for the 4s and K, they're going to have just the one verse that they work on all week, and they will get the same for working on their 1 Peter 5:7 verse. How to use these packets. If you've never helped out with children's ministry before, or even if you have, you're going to see that in the packets, it's kind of laid out as hook, book, look, took. And so there's a main objective that each packet has, and that is the main truth that I don't want you to stray from. That's what the kids come away with. And so whatever that is, that here's the thing that we're trying to get across in this passage today, and a main teaching passage. So stick to the passage and stick to that objective so that all the kids leave having learned that. And I'm going to be sending out after each day the lessons to all the parents and everything like that. Here's what your child learned today. You can follow up, you know, all these things. So stick to that. And then the supplemental verses, the key verses, you know, you can follow along with those. That's just to kind of fill in some more details with the main objective that we're trying to teach. You can add to those, you can leave those, but the thing that you do need to read is the main passage there. The hook is just a fun activity or a question or idea to kind of get the kids engaged with what you're about to teach, leading them into the lesson. And then the book part just is kind of like a retelling of the passage of scripture. So for the young ones, I've left out certain details or changed the language a little bit to be more on their level. And then for first through fifth grade, it's mostly just what, you know, the passage is saying. And then look is kind of like the application. How are we applying this? What does it look like as I teach it? And you can go through that and get an idea with the look section. And then took some takeaways, some review, a family question, a prayer to close it out, hook, book, look, took. That's kind of how you use the packets. And as I go through this, on the back of your meeting notes is a QR code. We had a children's ministry conference last year. I've done a lot of teachings that I've put up online. So that takes you to a volunteer page that has a tab to the children's ministry conference and to some of the trainings that I've done. So you can just go on there. You can learn how to use the packets in more depth. You can learn how to teach specific age groups. You can learn more about classroom management, how to lead a child to Christ, a lot of different things. So I encourage you to go look that up and use that as a resource. As you teach, teachers, please do teach from a physical Bible. Don't teach from a phone. Don't teach from a tablet. Don't teach from the packet. Teach from a Bible. This is Vacation Bible School. We're having kids bring their Bibles. You saw in the video, kids sitting in front of an open Bible. And that's our goal, to get kids to interact with the Word of God. God gave us a book. Teach from it. Let them see you exampling what it looks like to find words on a page. The big numbers are the chapters. The small numbers are the verses. Help them navigate, learn how to navigate their Bibles, and definitely teach from a Bible and example that. I'll be, again, emailing out these lessons each day to the parents. On the back of the lesson is a commentary from David Guzik. That's not what we wrote. It's not necessarily things that I recommend you sharing with the kids, but it's just to fill in your knowledge more about the passage. For teachers, that's a lot of preparation. They have 5 lessons over the course of these days. I mean, as I'm reading passage, preparing to teach it, I want to at least read it 10 times, double digits, to get it into me so that I can be very familiar with it. I'm not married. My eyes aren't married to the Bible. I'm able to look up and actually engage with the kids as I teach. So, you know, read through, familiarize yourself with the main passages, and just get it into you so that you're ready to go. All right, some general announcements. You've heard me mention red groups, other colors. The age groups are divided up by color in VBS. So 4s and K are the red groups. 1st and 2nd grade are the blue groups. 3rd and 4th grade is the green groups. And 5th grade is the yellow group. So when I'm talking about colors, that's what I'm talking about. It just is a color to match the age group. And there'll be red rooms, blue rooms, green rooms, and a yellow room. Nursery is available to any volunteers who have somebody that they're caring for who is not VBS age, so 3 and under. So if you have somebody who's going to be with us in the nursery, please let us know who that is so that we can be ready to receive them. Some of you volunteers are just back in the nursery, taking care of the kids of the volunteers who are serving. Appreciate that. The skit theme for this year is a superhero theme. So there's going to be some superhero-y type things playing out on stage. And the purpose of the skit is to kind of show in a different light the truths that we're going to be teaching throughout the week. That being said, the theme of VBS is God cares for me, not Captain America. So on the walls all throughout the building, you're going to be seeing different aspects of God's care. God's feeding the ants. God's taking care of the birds. All these kind of different aspects of God's care. So even though that's the theme of our skit, kind of superhero-y, it's not what VBS is being built around. It's built around the fact that God cares for me. So that's really the emphasis. But if you needed any ideas for like decorating or anything like that, that's kind of there. And really the skits, you guys can read the skits. They're posted up online if you want to just get a better idea for it. But it's really about the person in the story who's not a superhero. And there's just this kind of ordinary guy and kind of like a president or a leader of a city. And the president and the leader of the city doesn't have any superpowers, and neither does this ordinary guy. And we're able to see that, hey, this kind of president overseeing the city cares about this ordinary guy without any powers just as much as he cares about, hey, somebody who is extra special or something like that. So you can look online at the skits to learn more about that. There is a decorating committee again to both decorate the hallways but also decorate the classroom. So, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. Last year they had to opt out of having their room decorated with essentially like a baseline level of decoration so that your room isn't cold and gloomy and sad when kids walk in, that there's something up on the walls, some form of decoration. So I'll pull up a photo of a board that the names of the kids will be going on, and I don't know what more there's going to be from there, but we can always catch up with Kathy afterwards.
So this year there isn't an opt-out, so everyone will get, you know, a packet or a kit for your room to decorate the inside. It'll be done for you. So there'll be something hanging like last year. And then this is an example of the bulletin board that you would have in each class. And the little hearts, the kids will write their name on the heart. You know, just that visual of God cares for me. And again, that will be done by the classroom decorating committee, so you don't have to set it up yourself, but you're welcome to bring in extra decorations. You can still do that, even though you'll have, you know, some things in the classroom. And then we do have the hallway decorating committee. I'm in charge of that. So the hallways this year are gonna show a visual of God's care for his creation. And it's also going to tie in some of the lessons that you'll be teaching the kids. So like, for example, the kindergarten wing will have birds and clouds and little ants being fed and how they take their, you know, the seeds down into their ant farm. And there's, you know, each section will have their own kind of theme. One is like feeding the 5,000. And so it's going to be really neat and a lot of things hanging from the ceiling and really fun decorations for the kids to enjoy. We do have a sign-up genius for that was emailed out. We still are looking for a couple more people to join in on setting up the decorations the day prior to VBS starting. So if you want to look at your emails and sign up through the sign-up genius, you can still do that. There's still spots. And that, if you want to sign up for that, we set up right after third service the day before VBS. And we'll have food for you, and we'll have fun setting everything up. It's exciting. So if you have any other questions, you can ask me after. Okay? Thanks.
Thanks. Well done, Marissa. On the spot. All right, you can't opt out. Your room will be decorated with that, whether you like it or not. Okay. Some of you guys might be wondering about decorating your rooms, because some of you guys do like go all out and deck it out, and it's like transforms into a completely different location. Because we use those rooms for Sunday school, many of them, you're not able to really get in there and decorate until after third service, the Sunday right before VBS. But some of your rooms are not used by Sunday school, so you'll be able to get in them sooner if you would like. You just may not know, you know, you can touch base with me based on what room you were kind of assigned to, and I'll give you a thumbs up to sign that you can decorate earlier than that or not. Crafts are a big part of VBS. Craft Open House is June 28th and July 5th. Those are the two Sundays leading into VBS. And all that means is that behind the sanctuary in the middle hallway, which is the sixth grade hallway here at the school, there's going to be a craft open house where all the crafts are on display. And Cindy puts together booklets that kind of give instruction on how to put the crafts together. I have been in the situation as someone who is not crafty where it's time for crafts and I actually have no idea what the craft was going to be, let alone how to do it. So you don't want to be in that position. It's awkward. It doesn't feel good when all the kids' eyes are on you. And the craft is a big part of Vacation Bible School for reinforcing the lesson, what's taking place. So I encourage you, mark out one of those two Sundays and just make it a point to stop by that craft room and learn the ins and outs of the craft so that you can have some knowledge of what you're getting into come VBS time. So that's June 28th and July 5th. Between services in the middle hallway behind the sanctuary. Shirts. All VBS volunteers will get a VBS shirt. Be sure to let Marissa know your size if you didn't already. I think most of you guys have done that. And when it comes to the kids' shirts, please, you guys did a good job at this last year. Please do not give away any of the kids' shirts without asking us first. Because sometimes a new kid will show up, just registered, and he'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you have another kid on your list who hasn't shown up all week, but then they show up on Thursday, and maybe you already gave their shirt away because they didn't show up all week. But they signed up in time to get a shirt, and now they're not going to get one. So just leave that to us to decide, because we can reach out to families, say, hey, are you coming, or do you care if we give your shirt away, and stuff like that, and it just allows there to be less drama in shirt world. And then we're all going to wear our shirts on Friday on the sanctuary together. On Friday, we'll be having pizza and water ice in the Blue Gym. Every year we do that just as a thank you to you guys. And, you know, just last kid leaves and we roll into the Blue Gym and just sit down, enjoy some food, some fellowship. And then before you leave, plan on cleaning your room. And so there's going to be a lot of craft shrapnel and other things up on the whiteboard, the decorations, just a lot of stuff that needs to be put away. And so there's going to be a fleet of vacuums at your disposal. You know, you should put anything in the trash that needs to go in the trash and really just clear out your room. And you guys who were here last year just did an awesome job with that. So thank you so much. Let's do it again. For anyone who can help out beyond just clearing out their room, after the kids leave on Friday, we put the whole building back together. And so that's a lot of work. All the crowns, the scissors, the, you know, pieces and parts all gets put away until next year. And so for anyone who can stay and help out with that, that'll be an option as well. All right. Roles. Teachers. Let me just say that working as a team can get messy. The family of God is messy. All families are messy. Different personalities and different people coming together with different sin struggles and, you know, things going on. And so, you know, there's always some tension. There's always somewhere that this happens. The teacher takes lead in the teaching time, but not, they don't take over the whole classroom. The classroom does not belong to the teacher. That is co-owned by all the volunteers in that room. And so work as a team together to kind of decide, hey, what are decorations going to look like? How are we going to work together to really put God on display for these kids? So the teachers, you're going to take lead during the Bible lesson time, which is right after the sanctuary time. And you can decide together if you're going to co-teach, like somebody takes Monday and Tuesday and Friday or how you break it up, you know, every other day or the beginning of the week, the end of the week, or the same person teaching all week. So you guys can decide that. Again, we're going to teach from a Bible. We're going to get kids to open up their Bibles, help them interact with their Bibles, encourage kids to bring their own Bibles. I'm going to be telling the parents that. And we will have some extra for first grade and up, but not a whole lot extra. So really encourage kids to be bringing their Bibles out. This is Vacation Bible School. We want to let kids know that God wants to speak to them, and God speaks to us in His Word. And so as you get ready to teach the Word, open it up and say, hey, God wants to speak to us. Let's see what He has to say. And know that, get them used to the idea that when God speaks to us, He does it through His Word, so that they can be doing that. Assistants, both my volunteers over 18 and under, you're in the classroom to kind of help keep order. Your job is to observe, to participate, to engage and help the kids engage, keep their attention on Jesus. So you're sitting next to the rowdy kid, or you might be moving a kid's space. Our goal is that the teacher doesn't have to stop their teaching to address a rowdy classroom or a misbehavior. That's what the assistants are in the room to do. So your job as an assistant is to help the kids find where the passage is in the Bible, you know, help out if a bathroom run is needed, whatever is kind of going on there. So know that that's going to be your role. And I would just say this, teachers as well, you saw some of this in the videos, try as best you can. Some of the rooms are bigger, some are smaller, not to have kids sitting at their desks for the Bible study. Or if they are, at least have the desks, nothing on them. because, you know, you want to gather kids around, sit them around you on the floor or in some part of the room so that all of their eyes can be directed on you. Sometimes if kids are at a desk, so they have their backs turned to you, their eyes are on the other kid across the table. It's just more distracting. So that kind of like just allows for a smoother transition. All right, come over. Let's gather around the word. Let's teach and let them give them the best shot at actually focusing on you. It's always, hey, keep your attention on me so I can help you keep your attention on who we're here for. Jesus. That's right. Keep our attention on Jesus and constantly be redirecting. All right, buddies. Buddies, right now our wait list for volunteers is also a buddy list. So we have families who are telling us ahead of time, hey, my child has some special needs. They might need some extra help to participate in VBS. And that's awesome. We can match them up with a buddy. A lot of times Monday hits and we're like, wow, we have like all these kids who would benefit from having somebody with them. Now, you guys are in classrooms where there might be five volunteers in a classroom. So some of you assistants might just come alongside of a kid who needs some extra help. And that's totally appropriate and right and good. But some of the classrooms might have a little less help and might have somebody who needs a little more help. And so we're going to pool. Some of you guys will be serving. Just that'll be your kid. You're buddied up. And that's your camper all week long. And you're getting to know them and helping them participate as best you can, redirecting their attention, helping them participate in the gym time, sanctuary time, noticing, do they need some noise-canceling headphones? Are they getting a little, do they need a break? All these things. So it's not something to be afraid of. It's just a question of, can you be a friend or not? And so you're going to be a buddy, be a friend to whoever this person is, if that's your role. So if there's somebody serving in your classroom as a buddy, don't have them do a bathroom run. Don't have them serve in any other capacity. They are there for that particular child. That's their attention. Okay? Whether you're a teacher, assistant, buddy, whoever you are, throughout the whole day, every single day, just be in prayer. It's a spiritual work that's taking place. There's always a level of warfare with these things when we're trying to pour God's word into people's hearts. So pray. And pray that as the word's being taught, it would be fruitful. It would find good soil. It's a spiritual work that we're doing here. So the goal is to have at least 4 volunteers in each age group and no more than 18 kids per group, but sometimes it's closer to 20. We'll see. There's about 380 kids signed up for VBS right now. Last year, it was around 550. We don't cap it. And I invite all the kids to think about kids in the neighborhood that they can invite and bring out. So we get kids from other churches, kids who have never been to church before, a whole just array of different backgrounds and kids who are going to be here. So just know that that's what you're stepping into, probably somewhere between 18 to 20 kids in your classroom. Some expectations. Arrive on time. That is between 8 and 8:30. Kids arrive at 9. So arriving on time means that you're here early enough to both go to the coffee shop and get to your room by 8:30. Not arrive at 8:30, go to the coffee shop, and then get to your room at 8:45 because RJ took too long to make your latte. You know, if you're going to get something from the coffee shop, it will be open, but come early enough that that's not going to make you late to your classroom. Be prepared. Know the lessons. Learn the memory verses. Know who you're serving with. Learn your lines if you're doing the skits. Think about the rec areas. If you're overseeing a rec area, what games you're going to play. Become familiar with the crafts. There's no way to just roll into VBS. We have been preparing for Vacation Bible School since January. We don't just wake up and decide to do VBS Monday morning. It's a huge thing, a whole big thing. And the Lord has things that he wants to do, and we want to do the things that we do with excellence as unto him. And so, you know, we want to be a real expression of the Lord's love and care for these kids as they come, and we need to be prepared to do that. Not stumbling and fumbling through our notes as we teach, and not, you know, forgetting our lines. Or, you know, we're also people, so we're going to make mistakes, but we don't want to play loose with these kids' times. I always think about, you know, we have about 15 hours with each of these kids, and that's a lot of time. A lot different than ministry Sunday to Sunday, when you might be with a kid an hour and a half, maybe every other week. You really have a decent amount of time to get to know them, to disciple them, to know their hurts, their burdens, the things that they're struggling with, their joys, what excites them, and to just put God's heart on display for them. So be prepared. Prepare now by getting the word into you, working on the verses, all those things. The most important thing that you can do between now and then is stay close to Jesus yourself. So whatever you need to do that. That's what I care about for you guys. Like, my primary concern is always going to be your own walk with the Lord. I don't need to just throw another body somewhere. I want you to be close to Jesus before you serve. So do what you need to do to be close to him. I ask that no one uses their phones while serving at VBS. I've considered having a phone jail. Phone drop-off box. I don't know what it would look like, but no phones should be out while serving at VBS. Attention should be 100% on the kids. When you arrive early, that's to set up your room, and that's to pray together before kids start arriving. You know, we don't want anything to get in the way of, distract, pull our attention from. Phones should not be out. Our attention should be 100% on the kids. Phones away during VBS. Do not take photos. Do not take videos. Do not take and post the photos that you never took because you're not supposed to. And I say that because people have done it. And so we have kids at VBS who are in the foster system. It's literally illegal to post their pictures up online. And we have kids who have you know, different custody situations going on. And parents aren't giving us permission to post their kids' photos anywhere. So don't take their photos and don't post their photos. We'll do the recap videos with Caleb, and that's about it. That video is not getting posted anywhere either. So remain with your class the entire time that you're here. Now, I know that some people are going to have physical limitations, things like that. You're not going to be able to go, tear it up and gaga ball. That's fine. That's fine. Do your best to stay with your class. And if you need to hang inside because there's some kind of physical limitation, you can't go out in the heat or whatever it is, that's fine. But 98% of you can. So I expect you to be with your class at all times, not at any time wandering the building, not at any time going on break down to the coffee shop while everyone else is hanging with your kids. None of that's taking place. So while you're there, be present with your group and give your kids your full attention. You know, I have a quote in my house. I've said this before. Jim Elliot said, wherever you are, be all there. Be present. And let that be a gift to these kids. A lot of these kids come from families where they have parents who are there but not present with them. And devices and screens and phones have really stolen away deep, meaningful relationships that should be most natural at home. And so either kids put up a wall around themselves because they're on screens, or parents do the same, and there's not the same level of interaction that should be taking place that the Lord intended and designed. So my heart and my desire is that when we gather here, there is no screen to get in the way of face-to-face interaction. You are getting to experience what it's like to have somebody in person love you and care about you and look at your eyes and get to know you and pray for you and care for you. And that's a reflection of the Lord's heart and the Lord's care for these kids. So interact with them, learn their names, learn how you can pray for them, get down on their level, let the Holy Spirit use you to show much how God cares for them and loves them. You know, for some of us, we're serving with the same group of people we've been serving with. For some of us, we're serving with friends. That's awesome. That's great. It's sweet to co-labor together. That's a really cool way to serve the Lord and do something together. But that shouldn't take away from your attention on the kids. You might be serving with a friend, but that's not the reason that you're there. The reason that you're there is to serve these kids. So if you're serving with a friend, great, but don't let that take away from your attention on the kids. And also, we'll talk about this, but, you know, attention is on the kids in a way to help them, not to dominate them, especially during rec time. So, volunteer arrival. I already mentioned arrive between 8 and 8:30. You guys doing Skit World worship will arrive a little earlier than that. You're going to park out here in the front parking lot. You're going to park in the front parking lot. The front parking lot is where you will park. Not in the back parking lot. Do not park back there. You're going to park up front, and you're going to enter through the far entrance, the bookstore entrance. And as you come in, you're going to sign in every single day. The first day, there's going to be a lanyard that looks like this, blue lanyard. It's going to be blank. And you're going to fill out a name tag and just drop it right inside. And that's going to be your ID all week to show other volunteers that you belong here with the kids, to show parents that you belong with the kids, to show security that you are there and belong with the kids. And so that's going to be, you know, kind of a safety guard so that if we were to ever see somebody without that hanging out with the kids, we know that, hey, you shouldn't be here. Because there's a lot of families entrusting their children to us all week long. And we want this to be a safe place for them. Again, I mentioned the coffee shop. It's going to be open. Come early. It shouldn't make you late. If you want to bring your own coffee or food, that's fine, I guess, but just be mindful that you're keeping things out of reach of the kids. And, you know, we have kids with very severe allergies. Can't even be in the same room as a peanut. So, you know, just be mindful of that and don't bring anything that would cause an issue. Lanyards must be worn while serving. After you sign in, you begin setting up your room, drop your child off, right? Some of you guys serving have VBS age kids. So everyone needs to arrive on time so that volunteers with kids can drop them off at the rooms that they're going to be serving at. And if you have kids signing in early because they belong to another volunteer, recruit those kids, man. Have them pray with you as a group. Have them help you set up the room. Just put them to work. Make them part of the group until other kids start arriving. Family, you know, the families are released to come. So know that if you have other kids serving when you arrive, as long as there are two volunteers present in the room, then kids can start signing into that classroom. We are never, ever, 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 ever alone with a child anywhere in the building. Never in a classroom. Never by ourselves. We are always two people deep. Specifically two adult volunteers deep, or at least one adult and two volunteers under 18. Never allowed anywhere in the building without another person with a child. There's an exception to that. Like, we're going to go by ourselves on a bathroom run, taking a kid to the bathroom. But of course, we never go into the bathroom. And there's other people in the hallways. There's cameras that can see where we want to be above reproach, not even the appearance of evil. And so we're always in the room together. And that shouldn't be a problem. Kids are signing in. 9 o'clock, maybe a little earlier, everyone should be there. And if you're not there, you're going to reach out to Marissa and let her know so that we can expect to have you covered while we're waiting. If you're running late and need to call out last minute or just say, hey, I'm going to be 15 minutes late, call Marissa. I think I put that number on your sheets so that you don't even have to write it down. It should be there. Highlight it, save it to your contacts, to your numbers, and give her a call if you're running late, run into traffic, get in a car accident. Whatever happens, let her know. Get sick so that we can get you covered. Daily schedule. Schedules will be posted in your rooms. Note where your group goes for rec and what bathrooms you should use for yourself and what bathrooms your students should use. Sign-in is at 9 for the kids, between 9 and 9:25. Kids drop-off starts through the CPAC entrance, so that's in the back of the building, and kids will sign in at their classrooms. So all you guys will be waiting in the classrooms for kids to come, and that's when they're going to sign in. At 9:25, the late table starts, and sanctuary time starts at 9:30. So that's going to be in the sanctuary worship and skits, and the memory verse we'll go over. And kids' bathrooms during the sanctuary time are over on this side of the building, and adult bathrooms are going to be over on the bookstore and church office side of the building. And when I say for adults, I really just mean for all volunteers. Kid bathrooms are for anyone fifth grade and under, and the other bathrooms are for everybody else. So just be mindful of that during sanctuary time. After sanctuary time, that'll roll right into Bible time, 10:20 and 10:55, and then into rec snack time, 11 to 11:45. The red groups have a little bit of a different schedule here. And the snacks are all individually packaged, and pretty much one per child. For the older kids, they might be able to get away with getting two. Some of them will take it, some of them will reject it, and the numbers always just kind of work out. And then the craft, generally for the older groups, is the last thing that they do before they get picked up. And then 12:30 sign out, parents come to pick them up. Parent arrival. They come through the elementary doors back the building, open at 9 for parents. They're going to sign in, and the sign-in sheets are going to be in your room with all of your kids' names on them, and it's old-school sign-in. We're not using the tablet, so parents are literally just signing their name into the sign-in sheet, and then we are asking them who will be picking up their child. And if the answer is, I'm picking up my child, then great. No further action needed. The signatures are going to match at the end of the day. All good. If somebody else is coming to pick up the child, then we write that person's name down and we let them know, okay, when so-and-so comes to pick up your child, please have them bring their ID so that we can confirm that they are who they say they are. We're not going to release your child to them otherwise. And so if somebody different comes to pick up the child at the end of the day, we need to see ID. And if it's the same person, then we're really just matching signatures. So kids are going to sign in. You're going to, again, not bring kids into the room unless two volunteers are present, and an adult volunteer should be overseeing sign-in, just because there are some medical things, some custody issues that are sensitive that an adult should handle. Not because I don't trust you guys. All right, name tags for kids should be written in the same color as their group. So if they have their red group, red marker, blue group, blue marker. Remember to write your group number on there as well, which is a help to us if a child gets separated. So if a kid's wandering around and he has a blue name with a number 6 on it, I know he belongs in blue group 6. And then I can get him back to his room and not hire you for next year because you lost a kid. Any child that has a red background on the sign-in sheet has a medical concern. That could be seizures. That could be an allergy. That could be any number of things. And so they will get a red sticker that goes on their name tag just to alert us to a medical need there. And we're not responsible to give any medications. We'll have two nurses here with us. Any EpiPens or medications or anything that the kids have will be dropped off with the nurses, and they'll handle any medications that need to be administered if that comes up. if there's an ongoing custody issue with a child, their name will be highlighted in yellow, and we'll give them a yellow sticker. And again, you just want to be extra mindful of them, especially at sign out or when you're walking through the hallways. For coming to the sanctuary, you will hear a prompt over the intercom to line up for sanctuary time at 9:25. Do not leave your rooms until you are dismissed at 9:30. So there's like a prep, line up, 9:25, and then there is like a release valve that we hit at 9:30 to release everyone to the sanctuary time. Things get a little awkward if there's groups showing up at the sanctuary and we're sitting around waiting for 5-10 minutes while the worship team is still rehearsing and things like that. So the late sign-in table starts at 9:25. So we open that up before you guys actually leave your classrooms. Kids will sign in, and the volunteer bringing the child to your group will hand you the child's sign-in sheet and notify you when they drop the child off to you in the sanctuary. So you will have kids delivered to you in the sanctuary who show up late. That sheet is to be kept with your sign-in sheet until the end of the day. For those of you in children's ministry, treat it like one of your yellow sheets. It's with you all the time, part of your head count. And you'll also get a sheet if there's a new registration. There are going to be kids who show up who become a part of your group that you didn't know were coming, because kids can sign up day of. And so we're going to inherit some kids into your room the day of. If a child is just registering, they'll come to your room with a separate new registration form, and you can keep that with you throughout the rest of the day. And then the next day, that child's name will be added to your sign-in sheet. For signing kids out, again, make sure the signatures match. If it's the same parent, if it's a different person, check the photo ID. And if someone does not have photo ID, then get on your radio to call us for assistance, and we'll take it from there. Make a phone call or whatever we need to do. At the end of the day, leave your sign-in sheet in the room, and we will collect them and give you a new one along with more name tags if needed the next day. Okay? So all of sign-in, sign-out is done on paper, not electronic. And there's things that we need to take note of, like a red background or a yellow background, and make sure that we always release the kids to the right person at the end of the day. During the day, the actual Vacation Bible School day, you will have radios in your building that look like this. Here it is. A walkie-talkie. Some of you guys will share this. Some of you will just have it in your room. This is how you get in touch with us for anything. Never leave your classroom. Never send one of your volunteers all around the building to find Cindy Ballard for extra craft supplies. Use your radio. Get on your radio. If you have a medical thing, get on the radio. If you have any need whatsoever, get on your radio. So this should travel with you everywhere. And this is what you should use if you need us for anything. And it's pretty straightforward, simple to use. They're all preset to channel 3, which is the channel that we'll all be on. You're going to turn it on, the knob. It'll sound like that. And then you know you can hold the side button in, speak, whatever you need, and then release it to listen to the answer. And then once you're done, you just turn it back off and you let it be. If you have the radios on in your classroom, then there's going to be a lot of chatter, a lot of things that you don't need to listen to. It'll just be a distraction. So only turn your radio on if you need to say something, and then turn it off after you get your answer. But that is how you're going to communicate. Do not leave your classroom. Stay with your kids for the whole time. And you can let us know as you get on the radio what group you're a part of, what color and what number, so that we know where you're at. Yeah, it's not the end of the world if you do, but it's basic radio etiquette. You know, because you're just turning the radio on, you might be interrupting something. So for the recording, Chris said, hey, wait a minute when you turn the radio on and see if anyone is in the middle of saying something. And then if it's coast clear, hey, now you can say something so that you're not interrupting somebody else. And then you're waiting for a reply. All right, head counts. You have a specific number of kids who are with you each day in your room. And so before you leave any location, and when you arrive at any location, you are doing a head count. Here's how many kids I have. Here's how many I'm responsible for. It matches the number of kids I have signed in today. I leave. I go to the sanctuary. I get into the pew. I do my head count again. I'm missing one. Oh my goodness. Where's my radio? I left it in the room. Great. Now there's a kid gone and I don't have any way to let anyone know. And so we need to have our radio on with us all the time. And we need to have a volunteer out front when we're traveling anywhere. And a volunteer as the caboose in the back when we're traveling anywhere, because kids like to be lost and they like to scurry away and not be able to be found and explore this awesome building that we have here. And so we want to keep that from happening for safety for everybody. So do your head counts anytime you are leaving a location and anytime you arrive to make sure that you didn't lose anyone along the way. That being said, make sure you bring your sign-out sheet with you anywhere you go so that you always know what that number is and any of those extra sheets that I talked about before. Both are going to be needed, and your radio, in the event of an evacuation or emergency if that takes place. Chris, can I bring you up for rec time? Chris, how many VBSs have you done? 15 VBSs. And we would say that this will most likely be your last Vacation Bible School at CC Philly. So if you don't know, Chris is going to Guatemala to serve full-time as a missionary, and he'll be living there. And we are sad to see him go, but excited to see what the Lord has for him in the future. And so over 15 years of Vacation Bible Schools, he's learned a couple things about rec time in particular. So he's going to share that with us.
Thank you. During rec time, and I know that last couple of years I've given you guys a few rec instructions, and I will say last year was probably one of the best in terms of overall teacher help and participation. And so thank you guys for helping out. But for you new guys, and just as a reminder for those of us who are returning, during rec time, everyone, all of our volunteers are a part of rec time. So for example, in the Blue Age group, we might have three groups of kids going to, say, the high school gym, and we have two or three rec leaders. So it doesn't really work if we have two people running an area with 60 kids. So we're having all of our volunteers are, which, as Chris was saying, wherever you go with your kids, including rec time, you know, you're with your kids. Rec time is not your break and lounge time. And so the people, the designated rec area people, so a few of them are here, they are the big picture people. So they're getting the kids in. They're letting you know this is the game that we're playing today. And I would ask that you let the rec people direct the rec time. That's something that's very helpful. Sometimes very well-meaningly, we can create too many cooks in the kitchen. And so let's let the rec leaders lead the rec time. But you guys play a really important part because there's a lot of help that we need. As you guys know, getting one game that 60 kids enjoy can be very difficult. And so you might have a kid who finds out we're playing kickball and he didn't want to play kickball today. He wanted to play dodgeball, and he's really sad and he's really upset. And then this person wanted to be it, but someone else was chosen and they're off to the side and they're very sad. And then this person just got hit in the face because someone didn't listen to Chris's instructions that we're not trying to own the kids right now. So there's lots of things that are going on. And the biggest thing that you can do is look out for the kids that need a little extra attention. And again, that can look medically, that can be emotionally, that can be lots of different things. But basically, if, say, for example, Josh is leading the game of kickball, he's trying to take care of 60 kids, so he can't really branch off to make sure that one kid over there is okay. So that's what we're asking for you guys to do, is to be the people who take care of those individual situations, right? Medical needs, anything like that, kids getting into a fight. The gym areas, the blue gym, the high school gym, the auditorium, they are typically doing, actually less so the auditorium, but the blue and the high school gym, especially during blue rec time, are usually just doing one big activity together. If you are outside, which is yellow, green, and your schedule will let you know this, but if you're in blue, you'll be outside some days, but not others. There's probably going to be four or five different big games and activities the kids can be involved in. And then for the 4 and 5 year olds, the red, we typically don't have one big activity that we're doing. They tend to thrive a little bit better in a more unstructured time where, you know, maybe there's a organized game of duck, duck, goose and other kids are just playing with the hula hoops or throwing the balls around and having fun. And that's okay too. So the big ways that you guys can help is one, be attentive, be active. Yes, especially for you younger guys, there's certainly room for you to get involved in the games that we're playing. But as Chris said, it's not your time to show how much better at dodgeball you are than that 6-year-old over there. That is not what this time is for. We have medical stations in each of the gyms. These are for minor injuries. So a kid has a boo-boo, a kid needs a Band-Aid, a kid needs some ice. These are things that we are expecting the teachers to handle. Something that's a little serious, you know, they've got a giant gash down their arm, suspected broken bone, suggested concussion. That's something that we want to get on the radio and call the nurse. So we're with, you know, during rec time, we have several hundred kids playing at the same time, and we have two nurses. So you guys are really in charge of the triage there. So we're trusting you guys to know the difference between something that you can handle yourself so that we don't have the nurse having to put 600 Band-Aids in four different areas on during rec time, and knowing when it is more appropriate to then call the nurse and say, hey, like, this kid might need some serious medical attention, because we want the nurse, well, ideally we want the nurses to be very bored, but when kids are playing, there likely will be injuries and things like that, and we don't want them to be overwhelmed with things that we can handle ourselves. So ice, Band-Aids, all of that stuff, bags for the ice, they're all going to be in your rec areas. If you're not sure where in the rec area that is, we're more than happy to help point that out for you. But yes, just be involved. And overall, the best thing you can do is support the person who is running the rec area. So those are just a few tips for rec time.
Got it. Thank you, Chris. Can never clap enough for that man. All right. Lots of opportunities for ministry during rec time. Seriously, that might seem like the time where you're like unplugging from ministry mode, but that's where the enemy gets a foothold, if I'm being honest. That's where, all right, we just learned the Bible study, but now we're going to put it into practice. And so, especially because there's kids who are unchurched, kids from all different kinds of situations in life, you know, my desire is that whenever there's a kid left out, a kid that's hurt, a kid that can't hang or doesn't want to, that there's a gravitational pull towards them. We're not like trying to ignore the kid who's upset or ignore the kid. Oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? The kid who tells us to shut up and go away. You know, that's the time to continue to approach that kid and come alongside of them, get on the ground with them, you know, pray with them, take them for a walk, like whatever needs to happen. But we don't want the enemy to undo all that was just done in the sanctuary and teaching the word because we went out to rec and now this kid got pegged in the face with a dodgeball or someone called him an idiot or like, you can't play soccer, you're horrible, or, you know, those things happen. And so we need you guys to then come alongside the kids who are in those situations where they're getting mistreated or hurt, again, either emotionally or maybe physically, so that they can not leave with that bad impression on their mind. Outside rec, I tried to do this as best I could last year. No snacks, no drinks in the playground. No snacks or drinks in the playground. And nobody comes inside until the ground is spotless. Kids, take the styrofoam cups, smash them up, chew them up, spit them up, throw them up, and they're just everywhere. And especially Wednesday when we're going to have church a few hours later that night. You know, it's not fair to the rec team and to crew to go all over the back parking lot getting frisbees and balls. And like, there's over 100 people out there. Like, we should be able to do a big group team effort and clean up, put everything in the trash can before we come inside. Should take no time at all because there's 100 hands out there. So just keep that in mind as we line up kids at the end of rec time. We have snack time outside too, so we want to be good stewards there and put trash away, put stuff away, or at least gather all into one area so that we can have just a good testimony there. All right, craft time. Some of you cringe when I say that, but it's a thing, craft time. Something we do. Glitter's not involved, so don't worry about it. Everything that you need for craft time will be brought into your room. There's a whole team of volunteers who run craft. It's not their job to lead you in the craft. You have the open house for that, the booklet for that. They'll help you if needed, but everything that you need is going to be brought to your room. You don't have to leave your room to come find it. If you do need additional supplies or have questions, you use your radio. Good job. Craft Open House is June 28th and July 5th between services in the middle hallway behind the sanctuary, as I said. And the Monday craft is always a little tricky because we also do our verse, memory verse hanger. And so that gets the kids all the memory verses on day one so that they can work on them before the day's coming up. So that, you know, that's good to take priority, make sure they finish that up. And then if you have time, wrap the other craft up as well. Bathrooms. The most vulnerable time for a child, certainly when they're in the bathroom. There are certain bathrooms that they can use that are child-only bathrooms, and certain bathrooms they should not use. Child-only bathrooms are for kids fifth grade and under. No VBS volunteers are permitted to enter these bathrooms. If you have a child who will not come out of the bathroom, who is in the bathroom, had an accident, who's in the bathroom and got hurt, if there's any reason to go into the bathroom, then an adult female volunteer is getting another adult female volunteer, and you are both going to the bathroom for as little time as possible being in there and coming out with the child. Okay? So that's the deal with bathrooms. Again, we want to be above reproach, not even the appearance of evil, and we do certainly want to help a child if a child needs help, but we do want to be attentive outside of the bathrooms. We keep the doors propped open so that we can be listening in. And ideally, we shouldn't let more kids in than they're all stalled. There shouldn't be more than three or four kids in there at a time. Sometimes that happens, but if kids are goofing off, you hear them laughing, you know, throwing things around, dispensing all of the soap in the universe, then we do just verbally, hey, we're verbally present for those kids to let them know, hey, we're listening. Hey, did you wash your hands? Get back there. Wash your hands. Come back out here. And so that they can have some guidance during that time. If there is an accident or something, we do have, again, you know, extra clothes on hand in the nurse's office for anyone who needs it. If a kid needs help with like a button or a zipper or something like that, just have another volunteer eyes on you, get in the view of security camera, and just do what you got to do and be done quickly. Adult bathrooms are located in the teacher's lounge and in the elementary office and the church office world. So not that you'll use, that's just for sanctuary time, but they're clearly marked. They're on the map, and don't use a child-only bathroom. Only adult volunteers should take kids to the bathroom. Only adult volunteers should take kids to the bathroom, including during sanctuary time. I know that can leave you in a bind because maybe there's you and one other adult volunteer in your room. But an adult is, it needs to be an adult who responds in the event of an emergency. And so if you're at the bathroom and the fire alarm goes off or the lockdown alarm goes off, I need an adult to respond to that. If you're at the bathroom and there's a group of kids being rowdy in the bathroom, I need an adult to respond to that. If you're at the bathroom and an adult walks into the bathroom, I need an adult there to respond to that. And so only adults should be taking kids to the bathroom. Does that make sense? Okay. It's not because I don't trust you guys under 18. It's not. It's just because of crazy world that we live in. It's things that can happen. Well, we're always thinking worst case and praying that that doesn't happen. Some of the classrooms have bathrooms in them, in the red groups. Totally fine for the kids to use those as long as it's not a huge disruption, but they don't need to be used during sanctuary time. That's a bit of a far walk. So just use these ones over here on the side. Injuries, Chris talked about a little bit, should be assessed and treated by an adult. ICE injury stations will be available at each rec location. Use your radio, call the nurse for anything serious, asthma attack, seizure, allergic reaction, anything that needs more than a Band-Aid or ice, anything head-related, feel free to call the nurse, especially if there's just a question mark. You didn't see it. Is there a concern for a concussion? We just don't know. All non-serious injuries should be treated at the ICE and injury stations by an adult volunteer, and we have incident reports to fill out that say who got hurt, how did they get hurt, what did we do, got them an ice bag. Who's the volunteer who saw and intervened? Put your name on there. And then the parent signs that at the end of the day. That holds us accountable to tell the parent what happened to their child, why there's a bump on their kid's head or why there's a cut on their kid's arm. And so make sure you fill those out. And that's a lot better than me getting a phone call about something I know nothing about later that day. So when in doubt, fill it out. That's what I say. Emergency procedures. This is where we're going to essentially close out. So you guys are doing awesome. Hang in there. Fire alarm. Fire alarm sounds like this. Most of you heard that before at some point. And hopefully we don't hear that during the week of VBS. But if we do, we will be prepared. What does that mean? That means that when you hear a fire alarm, we're all gathering in the back parking lot where the playground is. That's the game plan. Everyone in the building, out back. And so wherever you are in the building, the goal is to get there. And so for most of you, that just means going right out the back doors, CPAC doors. For some of you up in the high school gym area, that means that you're going out those doors at the top of the ramp, kind of in the high school area. For those of you who are in the high school auditorium, maybe during rec time, there's a back door to the auditorium, and you would follow the sidewalk up the back of the building and then come over and meet us in the back parking lot. We open up that gate for you, and we would all just kind of meet there until the situation normalized. So that would be the plan in the event of a fire evacuation. We're all going to the back. And of course, if you're going to the back, you want to make sure that you have your class list with you and that you have your radio with you and that you know how many kids you're supposed to have with you so that you can gather them, do your head count, and let us know as soon as possible if you're missing somebody. All right, for a lockdown, I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to show you. At the beginning of each day, before sign-in starts, you will be given a password to be used in the event of a lockdown. A lockdown alarm sounds like this. kind of swoopy, like a submarine going down. And so keep that in mind. That's a lie. That means we're staying put. It's the opposite of a fire alarm, where we're getting out. We're staying put. And so what that means is that where all the doors are locked on the outside, and there's a magnet that keeps the door from being closed. So in the event of a lockdown, we are just removing the magnet from that door, closing the door, which is now locked on the outside, covering the window on the door, turning the light off, and there's a little metal bar that goes through a slot on the door into the ground that we're going to, it's mounted right there next to the door. We're going to put that in. That keeps the door from getting kicked down. Then we're getting the kids from the opposite side of the door in the classroom and just keeping them as quiet as possible. Play a quiet game, pray with them, just remain calm, cool, collected so that you can help them to remain calm, cool, and collected. The worst thing that you can do when a fire alarm goes off or a lockdown is just start losing your mind and freaking out. So I would ask you to harness whatever self-control the Holy Spirit has given you and keep from doing that so that you can be a leader for those kids and keep them safe in that event. You would know if the lockdown was over if somebody came around your room and said the password that you had received earlier that morning. And say, I would say, hey, it's Pastor Chris. You know, the lockdown is all over. It's all clear. You can remove the light, night lock from your door, the little metal bar there. And the password for today is wisdom or whatever it happens to be. Then you know. So otherwise, you're not letting anybody into your room. Not even a kid knocking at the door saying, let me in, let me in. Your responsibility is the kids in the room. And we'll take care of anyone in the hallway. If you're in the bathroom when a lockdown alarm goes off, if you're with the kids at the bathroom, then you do go into the bathroom, and the bathrooms have a deadlock bolt you just latch. Because at that point, that emergency supersedes not being alone with the child. You're doing whatever you can to keep those kids safe. Again, remember to take your sign-in sheets with you wherever you go so you know exactly what you should do in the event of a lockdown. If we're in the sanctuary, that means we're just all getting kind of getting under below the pew level, locking down the sanctuary. Same thing in the gyms, closing the doors in the gyms, getting away from the doors. You're able to lock down kind of anywhere in the building. So if there's people right outside your room when the lockdown alarm goes off, you can pull them in, but you're not waiting for somebody all the way down the hallway to come get to your room. You're just closing the door. We'll take care of the rest from there. All right, so I mentioned in that video one thing that if the fire alarm does go off after the lockdown alarm has already sounded, you disregard it. Because what's happening here is that somebody's in the building trying to do harm. And they're going to know that their time is limited, and they're going to try to do it as quickly as possible. So if there's just a hallway full of closed, dark, locked doors where there may or may not be somebody behind that door, they're not going to spend a lot of time trying to get into that room. They know that their time, and they know that pulling a fire alarm will hopefully bring a lot of people out into the public, into the open. So they might do that. And so it's just things to think through. And as I say these things, things to pray about. We've never had to do any of this at a Vacation Bible School. Praise the Lord. And we pray that we never do. But we don't want to play it loose with these kids who have been entrusted to us. We want to do our due diligence to be prepared ahead of time so that in the event something does happen, we're ready to respond in a way that keeps everybody safe. So we do trust the Lord, and we do ask him to cover us and be our refuge and our protection, but we also do live in a really crazy, crazy world where anything can happen. And so the guys on security here have thought through all the horrible scenarios that could happen and done a lot to prevent anything from happening, but we need to do our part in just being equipped with the knowledge to do it and react if we need to. So those are the two emergency situations that would take place, a lockdown or a fire alarm. All right, I guess I would just say that there are going to be all kinds of kids here, as I mentioned, kids who have never been to church before, kids from other churches, kids who have a walk with Jesus. So some of what we're doing is evangelism. We want to see kids saved. Pray that the Lord would do that. A lot of what we're doing is discipleship, helping kids continue to follow Jesus and grow in their walk with the Lord, to put God's heart on display for them. So pray that during VBS, whatever capacity you're serving, that eternities would be changed because of the Lord having you here. Using you, filled with the Spirit, not by might or by strength, by the Spirit. So, you know, there's the trainings that I mentioned. That QR code on the screen will take you there. There's the Children's Ministry Conference we had last year. It's on your meeting notes, too. I encourage you to check that out and look up anything that would kind of pertain to whatever capacity you'll be serving in. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. We had sent out your class assignments. Some of those assignments have changed since we sent that out because people's availability changed or we had to, you know, shift people around a little bit. So most of those assignments are still true. Some of them have changed and you noticed and asked me about them. And so on the assignment sheet that we have here today, that is what is accurate. That is what you're going by. And if you need to get connected to the other people that you are going to be serving with, then we can certainly connect you guys and make sure that you're able to have a conversation, touch base, get to know each other, pray with each other, decide how you're going to kind of be running the classroom and the show there. So just be aware that as far as the assignments are concerned, the things that are printed and out today are what we're going to go by. And if there are any conflicts that come up or anything that you need to say in regards to that, then let me know. Let me know. Any questions at all about Vacation Bible School? Lizzie. She asked, will we know if you have somebody who maybe has some special needs in your classroom ahead of time? Hopefully, because we give parents an option to share that information with us, or we already know them from church. But sometimes parents don't share that with us, and maybe you realize it Monday. And you say, wow, what a Monday this was. I could really use somebody here as a buddy. Then please let us know, because we do have buddies just ready and waiting to jump in and become a part of your classroom. And so, we want to be a place of welcome and belonging for people of all abilities. And God is not limited in his ability to share his love and the saving truth of the gospel with anybody. And so we want to give him that opportunity, and we want to give families an opportunity to experience Vacation Bible School in that way, if it works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out, and sometimes I say, I don't think this is going to be the year. Some of the kids might already be coming with a one-to-one who's kind of assigned to them for the summer. So you'll see some of those things, but just something to keep in mind and be aware of. Any other questions before we close out? Any questions at all? Anything? All right. I knew I did an awesome job presenting all the information. Listen, you guys can always reach out to me with any questions. I say that, but in all reality, I probably won't be at VBS this year. Actually, my wife is due to have a baby on July 11th. So I am planning VBS as if I'm not going to be here and secretly hoping that I will be. I appreciate you guys this year more than ever just because I know that you guys are in good hands and that you're diligent to do the things that you need to do to be prepared to receive whoever the Lord brings to us. It's not about the number of kids who are here. It really wouldn't matter if we had 1,000 kids here if we didn't share the love of Christ with them the way that we should. And so the best thing that you can do is prepare your own heart and be prayerful leading into Vacation Bible School, because God knows exactly who he's going to put in front of you, and he has a plan for it. And so just keep that in mind as you go through VBS and there's a kid that's driving you nuts, or you're like wondering, double guessing your life choices while you're here. And just know that God has a plan for you, and he has a plan for those kids and a plan for those families. And he has you at the center of that plan, along with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is powerful to save. So keep those things in mind, and let's let kids know and leave knowing that God loves them and very much cares for them. So I would just say, hey, thank you guys again so much for jumping in and serving. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, a man plans his way, and the Lord directs his steps. And so we plan and we prepare, but you alone know what's going to happen the week of VBS, Lord. And I pray that it would be to the furthering of your kingdom, that the name of Christ would be magnified, that you would keep us patient, humble, and close to you. And I pray for every child who's going to be in this building that they would leave here having experienced and known your love and your heart for them in a way that they never could have imagined. And so I pray that you would work the things into us that we need to pour out to these kids, and that you would prepare our hearts and prepare the hearts of these kids and these families, Lord, to receive from you the week of VBS. Be with all the prep, the craft stuff, the decorations, Lord. I certainly pray for safety, that there would be no injuries or sickness during that week, and that logistically everything would just kind of flow together, Lord, in a way that we can only look to you and give you praise, because we see your hand in it. So we lay these things at your feet and ask that you be lifted up and glorified. It's in your name we pray. Amen.